Hi, Penguin.
Hello, Penguin. Are you going to call in so everybody could hear your beautiful voice and chat with me? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you're the only one in here, so it's just us. You're not really on the spot. You can't find your headphones. Oh my goodness, it would be wonderful. You could share your telephone voice. Hey, Maxie. Hello, everyone. I am Isawellen, and this is Isawellen Writes Grown Up Storytime. Turning the volume down of my music. I'm still drinking my coffee. It is a lazy, extremely lazy Sunday afternoon. I fell asleep. I didn't sleep much last night, and then I woke up at 2:30, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and then was up quite a bit. I was up until 6. I was up until 6 a.m. Chatting with some people and kind of venting. I had meant to be up until 6 a.m. writing, but I never got around to that. That's not true. I wrote some poetry. I just wanted to hop on and talk about what has been going on this last week. I wanted to, that's basically what I wanted to do. Talk about last week, talk about what's coming up next week, talk about when I say I'm sharing about that thing, what I just can't take that as well. I had a conversation about that too. So that was part of my conversation last night in the middle of the night, because that's just how I roll. So last week, if you listened, there were two episodes, one on, I live streamed them and then I reposted them. They live streamed on Weird Days. When I first started, I was going to podcast on Wednesdays and Fridays, and now I just podcast whenever I darn well feel like it. And so I had a podcast on Wednesday, and then I think I did Saturday. Wednesday, I had H.A. Blackwood. Hello, it's Mr. Handsome. Oh, it's Hands, not Mr. Handsome. On Wednesday, I had H.A. Blackwood and Manis Dare, who are both erotica authors, who answered questions, select questions from other women authors, and I suspect just women in general. Then we did part two and asked those same questions of two other men. The amazing thing is that there were a couple things that they all answered the same. They all said, yes, they enjoy going down on a woman, some more than others. Let's just get the night safe for work right out there in the front. Hello, Wumpus Cat, too. we'll just get that right out there. They all said that they kind of described male orgasm the same, and they all had a little trouble. Even the two writers, the three writers, because Mr. Hands is also a writer. Mr. Hands. Handsome handyman is also a writer, and he also had tribes. I could only seem to get a couple adjectives and a couple verbs out of them. I think we need to pass out a thesaurus. The male orgasm, and then what it felt like when a man got started to get an erection. Those were questions writers always want to know, because, you know, it's something as a romance writer and an erotica writer that I actually repeat. My next book is coming out, people, and I'm kind of slow walking it because I'm a little nervous. Let's just get it out there. I'm a little nervous. My first book had some wonderfully raunchy Omegaverse style intimacies, I usually say. I don't say sex scenes. I say intimate scenes where the couple comes together in a expression of romance and steam. There you go. That's how we put it in romance. And even though in that encounter was several thousand words long, it was only, and there were a couple teasing scenes before that. I mean, come on, readers. There was like a whole torture scene where she's like hung up by chains. I really thought people would be outraged by this, but it's very few and far between. A lot of people thought it was hot, but they didn't count it as a sex scene, which is very disappointing to me. It felt like one to me. And then the after, what it was a tension and a tension building scene. And so you get to the end of the book and there's this, you know, one chapter that's pretty long and exhaustive. And then they end up with their happily ever after. And then I give an epilogue and another epilogue and then I'm done. My next book, because it is a megaverse. The megaverse is different. It's a little bit more bestial. It's a little bit more raw. It's a little bit more instinctual. It is not werewolf porn. It is not bestiality, but it does involve a knot, a naughty knot. Because and instincts, and sometimes the male is overcome with instincts to get with the female, but he cannot complete the act unless she chooses him. It is not only law of the land, it's also the law of a true alpha. He does not make his move unless she chooses him. And so in this next book, not only does it open violent and bloody, just to warn you, it's dystopian and it is, I do not hold back on my violence. It's gratuitously violent. 300 in romance. Yes, naughty thoughts. Act. Absolutely, Mr. Hands. Naughty thoughts. I am talking to the chat. If you ever hear me like answer questions out of the blue, it's because I'm online. When I live stream, there is a great chat window and people can talk to me and I can respond back to them. And I often forget to say who said what or what somebody was saying and stop and pause. I just talk to the air and interrupt myself. So that's what that is about. But so the second book, and it has this moment, they first introduce, they don't even know each other, instinct takes over. I'm just giving it away, people, but because I'm just that nervous about it. But the book is so sex-drenched when the last book wasn't. And some readers are like, if it's all about sex, then it must be porn. But a lot happens in those encounters, a lot of character growth. I'm just making excuses. It's just hard for me to get there. I just know there's going to be some outcry and it's not going to be as well received as the first one. And it bothers me a little bit. So I'm working on that. While I'm working on that, I'm distracting myself with these great podcasts, Women Writing Men. And I want to know, if there is an interest for We Like the Sex, LOL, you haven't read it. You don't know. I am always honored when a man reads my book, though. That's because men and women read differently. I mean, in general, at least in my history, in my family, they just read different content. It just appeals to them. Men like action-driven, you know, less character-driven, less insight, less introspective. I don't wax poetic too much unless it's about the sex. But anyways, I'm answering the chat again and I got off topic. What was I saying? Oh, if there is interest, we did Women Writing Men, which turned out like this incredible fact-finding mission. Now I would like to do Men Writing Women and give men the same chance to ask women questions and fact find and get answers to maybe some of their questions and see how many adjectives we can use for the same questions. And I'm curious as to what kind of questions men would have. There is interest. You have so many questions. I am curious to see what kind of questions you would have. For me, sometimes the questions that are asked, they tell me a lot about a person's perspective and of what they think. And so I would have to make an anonymous doc. And then I need to find guests. I think I have one who might be willing. She's like, I'll be bare naked honest. I'll say everything. Women can be a little bit more reticent than men, I think, if they're known. If nobody knows who them they are, maybe they can be more bold. Or if they've maybe just been, you know, maybe if you're in the sex industry already or something. I don't know. It usually takes a little bit to up from a woman to get from her natural self with her girlfriends to get online and to share it for the world is usually a little bit of a bigger step. I might be able to get, oh my goodness, you know, my publisher is an amazing young lady. She might come on. She's pretty bold. Hey, Meryl, I'm going to send this to you. Would you come on and answer questions from men about sex? She'd be awesome. She's had some great experiences. She's been in the sub-dom community, actually. She has done all different kinds of things. She is my publisher. She is an incredibly intelligent and hilarious woman. I adore her. She would be really good. I should ask her. Oh, that would be fun. She's got to be in the mood, but it would be fun. So I would like to do that. So if there's interest, spread it around, get some interest, because I that's something I'd like to do. The other thing is, I talked to Donnie, has already DM'd me this morning. He was listening and he was apologizing for the feedback. That is so more my fault than his fault. First, I forgot to tell him to get headphones, to get earbuds that plug into the phone. And second, I didn't tell him to turn off his radio because I didn't know if he was listening to his phone or his radio. I didn't know how that was working. So I just went with it. You have to remember, I am not a professional. I'm just a woman who stole her young adult son's microphone, plugged it in and said, hey, let's podcast. So I ask you to forgive me. And there has not been, just so you know, in general, listeners are so forgiving. They really don't care. If you're giving it your best and just sharing and being honest and being real, I have found that listeners have incredible forgiveness. Like when I'm reading, when I flub it, when I go too fast, when I go too slow, I have found that the general feedback is positive, that people tend to give positive more than negative. So just so anybody listening to this knows, I actually had to send let Johnny know that he was well appreciated. And Mr. Handsome, they would love to have you. Readers have always already requested you and everybody back, actually, on Facebook. There's not a lot of crossover between Facebook and Twitter. People tend to be on Facebook or they're on Twitter. There are untapped. Listen, if you're a romance author and you are trying to sell your book or even erotica or erotic romance, erotica with hints of romance, you're trying to sell your book only on Twitter, you need to go and get on Facebook. You need to establish yourself, make an author page, and start searching groups. There are Facebook groups with women romance readers and other authors that are up to the thousands, hundreds and thousands of people are in those groups. Not one group, but you'll have one group that's 600 people, one group that's 300 people, one group that, hi, Quincy, hey, everybody, one group that is, 500 people. And the activity in those groups varies, but you can post, share all about your book. 90% of my sales come through Facebook and advertise. I don't even advertise, okay? I have almost 5 million page reads on Kindle Unlimited, people. This is my first book. We paid for 2 advertising campaigns that were not actually very effective. I'm just going to let that sink in. How? All of it was word of mouth. All of it was word of mouth. All of it was readers saying, hey, I like this, and I shared it. All of it was 90% of it through Facebook. I started on Wattpad. I still post to Wattpad. I post my raw work on Wattpad. I was told, do not post your rough draft. Do not give away your work. You've got to understand how romance readers work. If they like it, they want to own it. And they want to own it in its best form. So they will read your rough draft, fall in love with it, and then come back and buy your book. Or at least get it on Kindle Unlimited and read it again. One reason I have so many page reads is because people have read the book repetitively. And then they bought it. So, yeah, I get yourself on Facebook if you're a romance author or a romantic erotica author. And thank you so much. Get yourself in some groups, start talking to people the way you do on Twitter, and then sign up for some parties and share your stuff and just be bold. And sometimes the parties feel like they're dead, but people come back and they look all week and they look at what you post and they get interesting and they click, get interested and click. That's just one tip for another author. Also, you can, if you post for free, it doesn't necessarily come back and bite you in the butt. You cannot have, just a note, if you're posting on Wattpad, do not mark your book as finished, even though you have finished it, because once it is finished, if somebody reviews it, puts that review on Goodreads, then that review will be forever, whether it's a good review or a bad review. Good reviews work in your favor. Bad reviews stay there forever. Of your rough work, stay there forever and will bug you and drive you nuts. If you leave it marked unfinished, most Goodreads librarians will help you take it down because unfinished works are not supposed to be posted to Goodreads. And you have proof. Look, it's unfinished. I can send you a picture. They don't know. So yeah. Goodreads also reviews really do work in your favor, and that community can also be somewhere where you can sell books if you know how to work it better, work it well. And then Wattpad readers, once you collect them and get them, they are amazing. Their feedback, just be honest. Say, look, this is rough. I need help with edits. I don't mind if you make comments about my edits. I don't mind if you give me feedback. I'm welcome to anything. I am so glad you're here. If you are thankful for them, they will be thankful for you and you will hear about it and they will buy your book. Okay, that's book selling 101 right there from Issa Wellen. Quincy, are you still here? You know you guys could tap that and call in if you wanted to. So the other thing I was going to talk about, that thing I can't take. I can take gifts, should. I can, hi Zane, I can take gifts, presents. I found out that I'm able to take an amazing amount of BS. I can take orders, whether I want to or not. I can take time. I can take your time. I can take your questions. There's so many things I can take. I can take your help. I don't have a problem with that. I know some people don't like to ask for help, but I'm pretty direct. I'm lazy. I'm also, I don't have anything to add to this subject. I'm waiting for something from you today, Mr. Q. I can take your help. I can take your time. I can take your questions. There's all kinds of things I can take from people, but I cannot take your compliments. Compliments are the hardest thing. It's harder than asking for help because I'm lazy. Let's just get that out there. If I think I can get you to do it for me or to do it with me or to help me or to do it for me or to make it easier for me, I'm going to ask. I don't have a problem. But compliments? No. I'd rather you not. Birthday wishes? Mm-mm. I don't hide my birthday date because I am ashamed of my age. I will be 51. I hide my birthday date because what do you do with 20 birthday wish compliments? You have to answer every stinking one of them. And then people expect their something back. You know, you got to remember their birthday. And then you have 20 people and they all get offended. Oh my gosh, some people birthdays are really important to them. Don't tell me happy birthday. Don't send me a gift. Oh, please, because I'm going to forget yours. Birthday wishes and compliments. I don't like compliments unless it's on my work, unless it's on my writing. That's worthy feedback that I can usually turn around a lot of times and create something new with and will motivate me to keep writing or will give me the information that I need to know what readers like. Like, I really like this character. I really like the world building. It just tells me I'm going in the right direction a lot of times. So even in my poetry, I'm like, my poetry is so amateur and I don't take a lot of time. You are at Q doing the same. What, laundry? I have two people in my studio doing laundry. Oh, and listening. I feel so loved. You're so domestic, people. So, but compliments are really, I don't know what to do with them. And people think, well, it's because you have low self-esteem. No, it is not because I have low self-esteem. I don't really care. You know, you hit a certain age and you just stop to care. A lot of times, most people, you hit 40 and you don't care as much if you're lucky. Not always, but that was the way it was for me. Laundry day with ISO. Everybody has come into my chat studio and I am bearing my soul and they are doing laundry. Anyways, so you hit a certain age, 40 for me. And I decided I'm going to do the things I like to do, period. And I'm not going to care what anybody thinks about it. And so I did. I started doing all kinds of different art and I generated a very, very small following. For me, wanting a platform and a way to connect for people, it was a great way to do that. But it was nothing compared to what happened when I started writing. But I didn't care. My art was not perfect. My art was not beautiful. My art was not technical. My art was not, it's not something that is lasting. It's probably going to end up in a Goodwill somewhere someday or a garbage bin. It was nothing that was this incredible thing, but it was an expression of my creativity and my storytelling. I used to call it my storytelling studio because I was still telling stories and encouraging people through my art. And I just decided I didn't care. I was going to take the risk. And then I did another step like Crimson Penguin does. I made things and I gave them away. If you are insecure, that is one of the hardest things to do, to take something you create with your hands and give it to somebody else and be proud of it and think that they're going to enjoy it. It is really, can be really a big, huge challenge when you're creating art to create, you know, doesn't matter how long you take on it. It doesn't matter what you put into it, how much you spent on it. But to create something that takes time and that you care about and you put your heart in and then to give it away as a gift with all its imperfections, that is intimidating. It is hard. There are a lot of people who hide their art and they say, it's just for me. And really, it's just for me because they don't want anybody to see it and judge it. And so I not only sold some, the most I ever sold a painting for was, I think, $250. But I gave some away. I love to give it away. And that helped me get over myself. So when we get back to the compliments, you know, people are complimenting the art, but what really pushed me to get over myself and find confidence in my art was just giving it to them and having them be thankful. It wasn't the people buying it, because I tell you, I must have sold 10 paintings. They take forever to paint. They were some of them were more stressful than others because some of them were commissions. And I think the cheapest I sold one was $50, $75, $100, $150. I think I sold a book that I'm handmade once for $200, and a painting. But every time somebody did that, the first thought in my head was, oh, they're just doing that to be nice, which is not true. That's a lie. That's that self-editing lie, right? That's that lie that comes in, because nobody pays $150 for something just to be nice. That's just nuts. But that comes in, and so I had to deal with that. And then the giving it away, knowing that that I've spent money on this and time on this, and are they even going to appreciate it? Is it going to mean anything? And will they value it? And that taking that risk and doing that over and over. So we're talking about compliments here. Yeah, I see. Exactly. You say that to yourself all the time. And so we're talking about compliments. So doing that built up my confidence. Yeah, exactly. No one can say what people find violent. I'm looking at the chat. Quincy says, I say that to myself all the time. They're just being nice. I get it. I once sold up and Hans says, I once sold a palette smear for $400. I've seen people do that, though. The abstract I painted with that palette never sold. No one can say what people will find value in. I'm not surprised about the palette smear because those actually are kind of collectible with these junk with people that I knew. But so taking the compliments for something, I learned to take it for my art. I learned to take it for my writing. But taking it for my physical self or for something that is, about me personally seems like it's in a different category. I don't know. I just put myself in this place a long time ago, well, when I was 40, where I just didn't care. And even before that, one of the questions I asked the gentleman was, what do you think about intense women? My background is unique. It is unique in a lot of ways. I say that I'm fearless because my brother's friends used to beat me up. They'd knock me down. I'd get a bloody nose. And I would get up and attack them again. And they would knock me down. I think I got knocked out a couple times or something happened. I don't even remember all the instances that some boy beat me up because I would not stand down. And I was young when this happened. So for me to stand down is an act of will. And in every way, shape, or form, I have my earliest memories are of not wanting to be afraid, of seeing fear as weakness. And so where I'm talking about compliments, this is in my background. So when I was bullied later in school for my weight or my looks or whatever it was in junior high and in fourth and fifth grade and all these other things, I found my nook, I found my place, and I decided not to care. So taking Hans says a strong woman choosing submission is as hot as hell, by the way. Yes, I would choose it. That is my type of submission. I yield it. I choose it. It could not be taken from me. I actually wrote a poem about that. It couldn't be taken from me. I have to respect somebody and care about somebody. You could never take it from me. And my submission from me. So I'm talking about compliments. So this personality that I have in the face of adversity chose not to care and to do it anyways and to just be in the face of people telling me to sit down, be quiet, hold still, you're too loud, you're too overwhelming, women and men, just decided to be who I was anyways in, all kinds of settings. It didn't really matter what the setting was, in drama class, in my faith community could not completely tame me, then definitely not for safe Twitter is going to be able to tame me. So I accepted that about myself. So now we're back to compliments, right? I was accepted who I was. I was prepared for the negative, and then the positive comes out of nowhere. And I'm like, okay, that's nice, but where do I put that? I don't have a category for that. I don't have a little pocket. I have a place to put the negative. I have a place, a way to process it. I have a 5-step plan to process negativity, but the positive, I don't have a reference for that. And if it's not something I've created or something I've done, you know, written or something that I'm offering to the world that I want feedback on, and you give me feedback, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'll just go, because I don't know. And I know people, you know, we're in the chat and everybody's like, yeah, I have a trouble with compliments too. I have trouble. And everybody's got their different story. Some people is like, I don't believe what you're saying. And that was one of the most unique things about having the four different men. That every one of them, I mean, Johnny's probably the youngest, but every one of them said the most appealing thing about women was not their body perfection or their face perfection. It was their personality perfection. It was their personality perfection. It was their unique individuality perfection, uniqueness. It was a whole list of other things that were almost more important than how they looked. And Johnny especially, he has this huge list of women that he has been with. And he says, you know, really, in the end, it's you got to click or you don't click. And it has nothing to do with what I'm seeing. And that was amazing to me. I don't know how I'm going to work that in a book. I mean, you have these books. Somebody calls it a trope, you know, the handsome guy with the fat, plain girl. That's just not a thing. That doesn't happen. Apparently it does. Apparently it happens all the time. Or the gorgeous woman with the plain guy. Apparently that's more real than the beautiful divas pairing up, because that's what I'm getting. But then, I was talking and there's only one quarterback for the football team and one head of cheerleaders. And then you have, 500 other students who are just playing and going to the school. That's where women learn basically that, well, there's one quarterback, there's one cheerleader, and I'm going to pick somebody who likes me and that I like. That's where they learn to, that's where they learn to just look at people at heart value, I think. That's where I learned. Some of the comments, Hans is like, I have a mentalist of formulaic. I can say that word. Thank you, responses, for just that reason. I don't know if that's good, though. And then Quincy says, taking compliments is a skill I had to learn. I had to train myself to function in that realm. So what is the hardest kind of compliment to take, though, Quincy? And Hans, I mean, do you still, if somebody compliments your appearance or compliments, body image? Yeah, usually it's body image. Because somebody compliments, says you're pretty or you're handsome or you look nice or whatever it is, appearance and voice work. Oh, you need to get over that voice work stuff, man. That's your jam. You're going to get compliments for that. But the body image too, you know, as soon as somebody says, oh my gosh, you're so cute. You're so pretty. Oh, you look so nice. Oh, you're hot. First thing I think is you're just saying that. You said that to 20 other people. Well, it's like three or four things. You're just saying that. You said that the same thing to for 20 other people, which means can't mean anything. Or you love me so much, you are neglecting to see any of the truth, which is the third thing, which is what I almost told Quincy when he complimented me. Like, you just love me. You can't even begin to see the truth. You just care about me as a person. And so my flaws have fallen off the page, my physical flaws, and they no longer matter to you. That's what that is. That's what marriage is, right? That's what long-term love is. That's what real love is. Real love sees the positive and not the negative. It accepts the negative. It deals with the negative. It lives with the negative or whatever, and decides, is this who you are? And I'm going to accept you who you are. And acceptance is a big part of love. And so that's what goes through my head. You're just saying that. You're lying. If you're not lying, you've said that to 100 people already. So therefore, it has no meaning. Or therefore, you're saying it because you love me. And then these men come on, we are not liars. And they get, okay, so this is just on Twitter, people, and they're just typing it. But immediately I'm like, oh my gosh, the daddy voice has come out, the corrective voice. I'm in the principal's office because I have told them I don't believe them, and they're making me feel like I'm calling them liars. I'm not. I'm doing the same thing you do. I'm doing the same thing you do. Real love's love for your flaws. So I can do that. I don't give compliments unless they're honest. But in your head, you do the same thing I do. Yes, no, real love forgives. I don't have a problem with my, you know, somebody who cares about me saying he doesn't care about my stretch marks. I'm always going to have a tummy. I had 4 kids. One of my kids was 10 pounds, 6 ounces. I gained weight with that. My first pregnancy, I gained 40 pounds. I don't think I've ever lost all that weight. Without some kind of plastic surgery, there's going to be a belly here. I believe that somebody who loves me is not going to care about the flabby, you know, whatever. I can accept that. Somebody who doesn't know me, though? Why? I don't know. Why would they care? Why would they forgive that? Why would they not attach their own standards or whatever to that? I mean, yeah. So yes, 10 pounds, 6 ounces. Oh, I love to brag about my babies. Somebody's like, 4 kids. I'll tell you the story. You talk about no fear. I delivered that child with no pain medication. They bent me up in half like a pretzel to deliver him because he was too big. They bend you up like a pretzel, put your knees behind. Okay, you're pregnant. There's 10 pounds of watermelon sitting on your butt. Let's just go there. We're going to go there. There's 10 pounds of watermelon baby sitting on your belly, and they can't get the baby out. And so they put your knees behind your head as far as, and your feet above by your pillow. People are literally pushing down on your legs on both sides, 2 nurses, both sides. Then they squeeze the baby out past your pelvic bone. Pop! He was so black and blue. That's exactly what happened. Tiger stripes rawr. Don't be so flirty, Mr. Hands. You have a lady in your life. One thing about this lioness, she is exclusive. I don't play with what I do not own. Yeah, so they pop the baby out. Yeah, I wake up and passed out again. So listen, when men talk about suffering pain, let's just go there. Plus, it was 12 hours of labor, and most of that was in transition. If you don't know what transition is, I'll give you some. I do, but I can flirt. I'm just telling you. I know you do. But I know, generally, I try not to flirt too much. That's the thing about the Twitter thing. My heart gets too easily engaged. I'm just so old-fashioned. I think if you like me, that you must like me. I automatically go there. Just think, what is that book? It's a Jane Austen book, Sense and Sensibility, The Young Lady and the Young Man. They spent some time together. She got the wrong idea. They pledged their troth, and he was caught in a marriage that he didn't, for years, where he did not necessarily love the young lady. Because all you have to do is look at them, and they're like, oh, he wants me. Yes, that's me. So, back to compliments. So everybody in the chat has problems accepting compliments, and I'm just going to assume everybody listening to this has trouble accepting compliments. So there, if you have ideas on how, look, we've got Hans, who says he makes a mental list of how to accept compliments. Quincy, who's actively trying to accept compliments. Penguin, who says that she has a hard time too. Zane, are you still here? What do you do with compliments? What do you do? I just don't know what to do with them. Where do you put them? I don't know. I'd rather, you want to see me dance again? Don't ever compliment me. I love salsa dancing. Oh my gosh, I would love to go salsa dancing someday. Bucket list, seriously. 5-year plan, go salsa dancing. Find someone I can salsa dance for. But compliments about it? No, I'd rather you didn't. Come on, Zane, what do you do with your compliments? It's not going to work. I'm talking to the chat. So that while he's composing, come on, compose. Give me an answer, buddy. Just me and the microphone unless you want to talk. Nobody has wanted to talk. I'm sharing about upcoming this week. So Monday, tomorrow, I'm not going to repost this podcast. I don't think so. If you happen to be listening tomorrow, or maybe I will, we'll see. Monday, I'm posting another Mute Zero production called My Closest Friend. And I really I need to listen to it again and get a hold of the poetry because I decided I want to read that poetry. That's Monday. And then on Tuesday, I think I scheduled a 9 a.m. a 9 a.m. interview with In My Hands Audio and Alexa AVO. I'm gonna go back and read my comments in the chat because they're catching up. There's a little bit of delay between what I say and what people are able to respond to. So Zane says about compliments, I used not to, but now I do. I may ask again if the person is serious, but I accept. And then he put in parentheses, like you should do. Here's your raspberry. Quincy says we have to help each other learn how to take compliments. Yeah, I'm never posting a dance video to Twitter if people are going to say that I can dance because I just don't want to hear it. And Mr. Handyman says, nice, my sub is going to teach me to dance. She's an amazing dancer. I'm 3 feet long. I can't. 3 left feet. But I have to. Yeah, I'm not going. I didn't post for compliments. That was just a challenge. You ruined my challenge by complimenting it. It's like you deflate. No, that wasn't the point. You were supposed to laugh and be like, okay, I get it. And totally just, that was what you were supposed to do. You ruined it. I was so upset. What was I saying? Yeah. So I don't enjoy those things. yeah, I don't know what to do, you know, and I post the selfies every now and then because I'm not hiding and I don't want people to think that I'm trying to be incognito. I don't have it in my profile pic because I've noticed that I get a lot more stranger DMs when I have a selfie out that shows I'm a real person than I do when I don't. And I don't mind posting it in my feed so that people I know who I can see know what I look like because, you know, I'm not trying to hide that. So, and I kind of like people to know that I'm not, you know, 25 or 35 or anything. I kind of want to not, I very much believe in embracing my age and not trying to, you know, be one of those women who's like, you know, one of those women who's 50 and says she's 43. When I turned 45, I suddenly noticed I stopped getting compliments saying, you're so young. So I added like 15 years to my age and started telling people I was 55 and then 60. I don't do that as much anymore. Now I just, because I got so used to saying I was 50 that, and I'm kind of proud to be here. I made it to 50 and it is what it is and I'm going to own it and live it and all that. So I'm not afraid to put that out there in a community where it seems like a lot of the women are younger. But yeah. So, but I don't post them for compliments either. I'm not putting them out there to just like gather all that. I'm just like, hey, this is me. And Look, I took this picture with filters laying down. Oh my gosh, you guys got to lay down. It does wonders for the wrinkles. I told my 80-year-old mom I want her to try it. I sent her two different pictures. I'm like, no, mom, look. And she's like, oh my gosh. So yeah, so I have some great "you look lung" comments till I grew a beard and it's great. Yeah. So I have some great comment coming up. Also, if you would like Johnny or Mr. Hands, Working Hands, to come back on, or Dare. I know that H.A. Blackwood will not be able to, but those three would all probably are exhibitionist enough. No, that's not a nice way to say it, but they're bold enough to want to come back on and chat. And I can always get me in a room with a man and I can always come up with 20 questions really easily. There's so much to talk about. In writing, in romance, in how men think, in the dom experience, in the where you live in the world experience. You know, Quincy lives in Chicago and does erotic audio work and all kinds of other things. You really do. You're kind of multi-talented, Quincy. I know you don't think you are. You just haven't got it out there. He can tell a story like nobody's business. I cannot find the recording that I have of you doing the different laughs, Quincy. Cleveland. That's not Chicago. It's Ohio. But it starts with a C and it's not here. You started bot. Yeah. So there's so many things I could talk about with people. You get me? And I would love to do that. So listeners, if you are listening, I might need to repost this today. Let me know what you like and I can provide that content. If you are so bored with my reading, my current work in progress, request what you would like to see. I have someone who sends me requests. She's like, you need to get this guy. I don't even know that guy. How am I going to get that guy? I'm not going to slide into his DM. She does not know. You do not slide in uninvited into the DMs on the dirty Twitter ever. Never. She's like, oh, but that would be so good. I'm like, listen, it takes a little while. You got to build a little bit of interaction. I'm not going to do that. That's not, you know, even men have been polite enough to chat me up a little bit in the and I've been willing to chat them up just in the general chat, and we just get to talking, and then they end up with a question that they need to ask me, and it's, you know, not anything necessarily private, but better said in a private, you know, channel. So yeah, but I do not do the DM slide ever. That's not my thing. Like I said, if I don't own it, I don't touch it. And how can I own it when it's on the internet? That mystifies me. That it's not quite a possibility. So anyways, thank you guys. Anyone can slide into mine. You're just so personal. Personable. Do you want people to slide into yours, Quincy? How about you, Penguin? Do you want the D? I don't think Penguin does. Women tend to not. You got to knock on our door a little bit. My DMs are a skating rink slide on it. Yeah, all the men are like, you know, and that's something Johnny said. He's like, the women, they don't have to pay for that, you know. Yeah, nobody's getting none of those from me either. So if you don't own that, you don't get that. Oh my gosh. I did that. I don't do the boob pic. I do, you know, cleavage pics occasionally because the way I'm built, it doesn't take much to get a little cleavage. So I can pull that off, but I don't do the boob pic. Nobody's getting that either. See, this is dirty Twitter. If you are a Facebook listener or somebody who has followed me from COT and or from, you know, who followed me as a reader, this is Dirty Twitter is a place, man. I need to get off. I am weaning myself slowly. I am going to get my self-respect back and get my professionalism back. I just make myself available for anyone who wants to talk or whatever. Yeah, sure you do. If you weren't so busy, Mr. Quincy. And you too, Hans. It's not like you both aren't working during the isolation and working a lot, you know, pretty consistently. So, yeah. And me, I'm online all the time because, you know, I write self-respect. I have a lot of that. I just know what it's like. Oh, you just know what you like. Yes. Boobs. What man on the planet doesn't, even if they're not boob men. But you both work a lot. Who don't like boobs? I once had this amazing older woman. She had had, she'd had cancer. So she had had both removed. And she's like, she took my hand and shoved it up her shirt. And, but she was amazing and you would have loved her. Such a courageous person. Yes. That ass though. Yeah. I got little teeny butt. My mom, this is a conversation. Oh my gosh. So here I am live. I'm going to share this conversation with you because and Zane's in the room too. So, my family has a history of, buttlessness. We just don't. All our build is up top. Okay. My grandmother even had something called that was like a padded butt underwear. My grandmother, when she passed away, I found it in her drawer, padded butt underwear. You know what I did with that padded butt underwear? I took it home and I wore it to my nephew's graduation. I have photos. I blogged it. I do have a little bit. So my mother and I were having a conversation. I was showing her that I was exercising and I had leggings on, and I had taken a picture of my behind just because I had one and I was so proud that it existed. Just like pizza. It's all delicious. Just like pizza. If you love her, it's all good. Yeah, if that pizza got anchovies on, though, send it to the doctor. I'm just saying. Okay, that's my story. It's all those fishy euphemisms. What the heck? It's not like fish. It needs to go to the doctor every time. This is not okay. It's not natural. That's a thing. Late night thoughts entered the studio. Clam jamming. Yeah. If there's any euphemism and it's related to fish, that's just wrong. Because it needs to go to the gynecologist and get some medicine. And then you share that medicine with your partner. They get some too. And you take care of that. Because that's not a good thing, people. I'm just telling you. ISO's second PSA of the day. Because I cannot believe that that's ever a thing. That is never. And it's so common. It's such a little common kind of infection, I guess. It's not okay. It's one of those you can get off a toilet seat, I guess. Anyways, my darlings, thank you for coming in and making this morning fun for me. I've got stuff to do. I have not exercised yet today. I have discovered that exercise and restricted diet is its own sense of, I don't need a dom to whip me. I'm going to exercise and diet. I can't find anybody who's brave enough to tie me up. So I'll just exercise and diet till it hurts. And you guys do your laundry. Maybe I'll clean my room a little bit and do some writing. So thank you guys so much for joining me. Have a fantastic Sunday. Don't forget about the upcoming shows. Give me feedback on if you want to see men writing women. And it's so good to talk to you. Bye-bye. Music. Gonna put some music on. Ooh, 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 ooh. Here we go. This has been another Isabel and Wright's live stream. This is just me playing around with some friends. Thank you for listening. I hope you turn into the other shows this week. Have a fantastic day. Have a great Monday. I'll talk to you soon.